Let's get to our guest, Jason Schenker. He is president of Prestige Economics on the line from Texas. Jason, thanks for being with us. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about central bank tightening, particularly the Fed. And I think that's the reason why the economists over at Goldman are reducing their forecast for U.S. growth this next year to a rate of around 1.1% from 1.5%. It sounds like the prudent thing to do. Could it get a lot worse, do you think, in terms of U.S. GDP for 2023?
Yeah, I think it could, Doug. As a matter of fact, our forecast is between minus 1 and -1.5% GDP for next year.
Wow.
This year, we've been expecting between 1 and 1.5. So, yeah, it could go negative next year. You know, we had this year just a really strong Q4 of 2021 that has kind of kept, even if we have negative growth every quarter this year, which is our baseline forecast, we could still have positive GDP for the year on year because of that strong Q4. But next year, it looks a bit more dire, where we're going to have, again, maybe more negative growth in the first couple of quarters of the year, quarter on quarter, seasonally adjusted annual rates, and we might have negative year on year rates every quarter next year.
With rates where they're going, especially when you look at mortgage rates, how much damage is this doing to the housing market, and how much can that actually ripple through the wider economy?
Yeah, there are a couple of pieces to this. I mean, on the one hand, you've got mortgage rates that are higher. Just last week, over 6%. You can see it up on the Bloomberg Terminal. Those are very high rates, the highest since, you know, we had seen since 2008. They could go quite a bit higher, because although 75 basis points is baked in for this week's Fed decision, there's still two more decisions after that this year, which could yield another 150 bips, right? So right now, the lower bound at 225, we could theoretically add another 225 bips to the lower bound before year end. You know, that's just a big move in rates, which means mortgage rates are not done rising. There's downward pressure. You're seeing it in home prices. Data out this week, housing starts, building permits, existing home sales, they're all likely to weaken. The only good point of solace, if you look at the consumer credit numbers out of the New York Fed's quarterly report, you look at mortgage credit quality, and the vast majority of mortgages issued over the last 2.5 years have been for people with 760 plus credit scores. This is very different than before the housing crisis.
Yeah, no doubt.
So we don't have that same debt risk, but prices could still fall in a reverse wealth effect in play.
So the Fed has said it's willing to accept a little bit more pain if that's the price you pay for getting inflation under control. So the idea of a Fed pivot here, it's not even on the table.
Not at all. I thought that Fed Chair Powell's remarks from Jackson Hole were Churchillian in the war on inflation here, right? There's a job to do. There's a job to be done. We will not stop until the job is done, right? That kind of language is very different from the multiple uses of the word transitory the year before. In fact, in the Jackson Hole statement, even the notion of we might cut rates at any time soon, you know, kind of forget about that, right? Even that was communicated in that statement. So I don't think they're cutting anytime soon. I don't think we're anywhere near done raising rates, because with a core at 6.3% and a headline at 8.3, we're nowhere near 2%.
And we've got a dollar index so far this year here, Jason. It's up 15%. It's quite remarkable, the strength that we have for the dollar. But are there any signs of fatigue right now being built in?
I don't think so, Rashad. I think there's some more upside here. If we think about even just the statements we heard about, right? The Russian war on Ukraine is going on. We're moving into the winter. That presents downside risk to growth in Europe, upside price risk for power and gas. And in Asia, there's still concern about not just third-party sanctions that could be put on China if they were to try to aid Russia to circumvent sanctions on Russia, or if they were to try to be a bit more aggressive with Taiwan. These are real risks that are lurking out there. And of course, even though the opening of Chengdu is a good sign for the Chinese economy, Chinese manufacturing has contracted in 6 of the last 10 months. That's not a good sign. And foreign investors are a bit spooked by what's going on in Taiwan and the relationship China has with Russia.
So I'm kind of getting the sense here that you would be avoiding China and the market there at all cost.
Yeah, I would be. And the truth is, a lot of institutional investors had assets, whether they were assets in Russia specifically or ETFs that had subcomponents that were assets that were in Russia, and those are now stranded assets, and you got to mark to market those, write them down to nothing on your balance sheet. That's, you don't want to do that again, especially if now we're talking about an economy that's much larger, right? So China's a much bigger part of a lot of investment portfolios. Folks are freaked out about that, and they don't want to have to do that again. It's just an infinitely higher probability than it was at this time last year. And this is why the dollar's been so strong. It's just really, it's just growth here is still quite solid. And those kinds of concerns, those geopolitical risks, are much lower here in the States.
Jason, the other aspect to it all is that the dollar being so strong and commodities being priced in the currency means that there's an added inflation charge to what's going on in other parts of the world.
Absolutely right. We look at the impact on emerging markets. I've been worried about the risks of an emerging market debt crisis that we could see here. You look at where the yields are for emerging market bonds. They've gone up so sharply, especially for the more distressed assets. And those emerging markets, these are poor economies. Energy and food are bigger percentages of their GDP than they are in OECD economies. And because the commodities are dollar denominated, they're getting a double whammy because of the higher price that they're paying, not just outright, but also the currency arb. So those countries are in a lot of pain right now, and they could face more pain as the Fed and other OECD economies raise interest rates further.
And chief among those commodities, and something that is close to your heart, is crude oil. What is your outlook here as we look at WTI right around 85, 86 a barrel?
Yes, I think we could see prices be a little bit choppy here. We might see them come off just a little bit more. We had been expecting in the fall, as we were moving into these fall trading months, that we would see after the summer driving season demand destruction. We are seeing that. We could see a bit more of that still because of those global economic risks. And it's probably going to be a dicey 4 to 6 months or more before we really begin to see some probable upsides here. But the Fed's not done raising rates, and global growth isn't done slowing down.
The other thing about all this is that it pushes people towards using non-fossil fuels. And is that a trend that you're seeing now, that there's now more momentum in that direction?
Well, there's going to be 30 years from now, there's going to be 2 billion more people on the planet than we have now. And we already have between 500 and a million and a billion people that live in energy poverty, between 1.5 and 2 billion people who don't have clean cooking fuels. There's huge energy demand that's unmet right now. We're going to add a lot more people. I do think we're going to see a lot more renewables going forward. But I also think we're probably going to see a lot of hydrocarbons going forward, just because the demands currently aren't being met in the global economy and the risks.
That's all we got time for. Thank you so much for joining us. Jason Schenker there, joining us from Prestige Economics. This is Bloomberg.